Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show here with you over the airways of Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Anybody that knows me knows I love my boxing. All right, I'm a fan of the sport. Anytime I get an opportunity to promote the sport, I'm going to take advantage of it. And I really, really appreciate when cats show up, particularly for big fights, and show their brilliance. I don't like choke artists. I don't like people who are elite and then the moment arrives and then you can't find them, okay? I like cats that show you who they are. And my next guest is clearly one of those people, especially after what we just saw. He's a four-division world champion with a 25-0 record, 11 KOs, known for his elite defensive prowess, exceptional ring IQ, and precise counterpunching, a 2016 Olympic silver medalist. He's regarded as one of boxing's premier artists. I'm glad to sit down with the one and only Shakur Stevenson. As my assistant Samantha say, Brick City stand up. Am I supposed to say that to start the song? Shakur, am I supposed to say that?
Yeah, you're supposed to say
Brick
that.
Brick City stand up. Brick City stand up. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. First of all, what did it mean to you to win this fight against Teofimo in the fashion that you won the fight?
Honestly, it meant everything to me. I put my heart, my soul into my training camp. I worked extra hard to make sure on fight night I was well prepared. So I did everything that I was supposed to do, and it meant the world to me. Like, that was the biggest moment of my life, and I capitalized on the moment, and I stepped up, and that's who I am.
Teofimo Lopez, how did that fight come about? Did you ask? I remember I saw your boy Terrence Crawford, who you know I got love for, mad love for him. But I saw him basically clamoring for Teofimo to give you that shot or whatever. It was something that you wanted? Was it something that Teofimo was avoiding? How did it all come to be?
I'm a true competitor. So I watched him in Times Square, New York, when he fought against Arnold Barboza under that Times Square card.
Yep.
I thought he was the best fighter on the card that night. And he looked good. He shined. And when I seen him, I'm like, ooh, I like the way he fight. And I wanted to see how his style matched up with my style. And I asked the guys to hire up, can we make the fight happen? I will move up to his weight class. And we did that. And actually, me and Tio got on the phone before the fight, and we came together, and we made it happen. So.
It wasn't one of those things where you had to spend years chasing him and he was avoiding you or anything like that?
Nah, I think he had a lot of animosity on his hands for years from jealousy, but... Right. It wasn't like it was just, we really wasn't even thinking about each other, but I got to the point where I wanted the best to fight the best, and I wanted to make the fight happen.
Why would he be jealous of you? You said animosity and stuff like that. Where did that come from?
I think it came from the fact that I was getting paid more money than him when I was signed to top rank. And I said, if you got an issue with me, come fight night, it's going to be the time to solve your issue. I'm going to be right there in front of you. I'm not going to be running. I'm going to be there, and you can get in the ring and do what you got to do.
He actually thought you were going to run? You thought that he thought you were going to run?
Everybody thought I was going to run. Mm. Everybody. Everybody before the fight. Oh, he better run, because if he don't, the power is going to be too much for him. But they didn't realize that I got power too.
Mm. Talking to Shakur Stevenson right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Talk to me about your relationship with Terrence Crawford for a second, and what role does he play in your boxing life when it comes to the approach that you have when you step inside the ring? You strike, it's interesting, because you clearly have confidence. You believe in your skill set, and you should, by the way, you should.
Yeah.
But the other side to it is that when you got a champion like that, brother, as elite as he is, it almost seems like he was training you more than anybody else.
Honestly, you know, it's crazy. He does, but it's not like something that he's doing. Like, I'm more so like a person that take notes on certain people. And honestly, he one of the greatest fighters I have ever seen. And the way that he trained, the way that he trained his mental, the way that he walk around, I picked up on it naturally. So a lot of things that I see him do, you'll see me doing. And it's just natural instincts. It ain't even like he's just sitting me down telling me things. And now I just see and I'm taking my notes. I like that. I like that. Right. Oh, I don't like that. But I like that. I'm going to take that.
Now, you talked about training your mental.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How does one train their mental, particularly in a sport like boxing?
That was crazy. This fight, something that helped me train my mental. I don't like giving out the secrets, right. But
it's over. But you already beat him convincingly. I might add.
But I got more fights to go, so I'm gonna give you just a little bit of something. I be reading books. Mm. I like reading books. It's things that help your mental. And when you read a book, it kind of. I ain't going to tell them too much.
You know what I want to ask you about before I get back into some of these fights and your future, by the way, because obviously you have a very, very bright one. I remember you telling a story about Terrence Crawford, and you said he really whipped your ass. He said, you said, I forgot who you were telling it to. I don't know if it's my man Andre Ward, it was Roy Jones Jr., whom I love, by the way, and or whoever it was. But you were talking about Terrence Crawford whipped your ass so bad, it made you second guess whether or not you were in the right profession.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a second. What happened against Terrence Crawford, and what did he do to you?
I was probably 16 years old, and I met him when I met him before that, but I was talking so much trash to him, like, for years, like, oh, I'm going to beat you up, and I can't wait to get in the ring with you. You're going to see that I'm nice, and I'm talking so much trash. Then one day, I finally seen that he was in training camp, and I call him up. I'm like, yo, Let's spar. I'm on my way over there right now. I came over there. I sparred him. And he got the best of me for sure.
Right.
That's when I realized I was a little boy. It was a little boy versus a man.
Right.
And after that day, I kind of was thinking about him for like so much time. Like, man, I got to get better. I got to do this. I got to do that. Then the next time I saw him, I'm like, okay, we got to spar again.
And,
as the years went by, I just got better and better. And I appreciate him for that.
Because I'm asking that question because a lot of times when I'm interviewing somebody, I like to relate certain things for everybody to peel something from it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you got a lot of cats in this world don't want adversity.
Yeah.
They don't want those chances. They don't want to go through an experience like you went through, realizing there's a big benefit to it in the end. Because I'm imagining to go through something like that with him, all of a sudden you're like, why would I lack confidence against anybody else? Because they ain't him.
Yeah.
And that I'm thinking that kind of helped you immensely. Am I right in saying that?
For sure. I'm one of them guys. I was kind of brought up upon watching Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
So people don't know about this, but like when you watch Dragon Ball Z, the guys, like Goku, the main characters, they gotta fight against guys that's better than them to get better. So through their trials and tribulations, they rise up. And I think with Terrence Crawford, when I sparred him, it was like, keep sparring him. That way I could bring my level up to here. And once it got to there, it's like, now I just feel like when I go in the ring with people, it's like, I already done been in there with the best in the world.
When did you get to a point where you heard from him, oh, you there? You ain't got nothing to worry about with anybody else because of what you're doing in the ring against him. When did you hear that? Was it a year ago? Was it 3 years ago? When was it?
Probably right before he fought Errol Spence.
Okay.
Right before his fight, we sparred, and the praise that he gave me after the sparring was like, okay, I've been doing something right.
Right. Because that's when I first met you. Because you was like, you don't understand. I was like, no, you understand. I don't know. Because I hadn't watched you. I really hadn't watched you until, Darren, when you rolled up on me at the Errol Spence fight. I said, you know what? The brother is undefeated. I've been hearing a lot about him all this damn time. I do need to take some time to watch him. And then I'm seeing you and I'm going like this. Well, I got questions about his power. I don't have questions about anything else. He might be the best defensive fighter on the planet. That's how I looked at you.
I don't know.
How did you look at you?
I don't know how you even got questions about my power because... if you pay attention to my last fight, you'll see that I was bagging him up. He was the guy that was bagging up. I wasn't the guy that was bagging up. So I must got something behind these gloves to where I can back a guy up that's supposed to be a power puncher.
Right.
So truthfully, but how I look at myself, I know that I'm the truth.
Let me educate you about what non-boxers and non-fighters, how we look at it. We look at the 11 KOs.
For sure.
Unfortunately. Unfair to
for
y'all.
Sure.
We look at it like, of course, you got to, because I used to give Floyd credit for that. Well, he got to have some power. He keeping people off him.
Yep.
You can't keep people off of you if you ain't got no power
for
whatsoever.
Sure.
So it's got to be something there. But when we look at the overall record and we say 25-0 and it's 11 KOs, that's something that we'll question because more often than not, we're looking forward to a decision as opposed to a KO. That's the only reason. We're not taking into account the fact that you got the power to keep somebody off you.
But
we're looking at 11 KOs.
But then you also got to understand that I've been fighting at the highest level since I was, 13-0. I was fighting on a world title stage. I won a world title at 13-0. So after you win a world title, is no going back. So the higher level, it's going to be harder to knock the higher level guys out. And
right.
A lot of people probably think that I didn't fight at the highest level because they don't know the names.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because they're not in tune to boxing. So.
Right. One of the things that I looked at, we're talking to Shakur Stevenson right here with your boy Stephen A. One of the things that I also looked at that made me really start paying attention to, I was like, wait a minute. I don't see too many people anxious to fight them. Where the hell are these cats? Where they at? Where? Because I'm looking at you at the you junior welterweight division now, WBO champion. You got the WBC belt. They stripped you of it, but who cares? We know how they do that. You don't want to worry about that. It's boxing.
Sure.
This is about people's championship.
Sure.
They can't take away. They can take away your belt, but they ain't gonna take away the fact that we look at you as the champion. I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I saw Lamont Roach fight Javonte Davis. How come Javonte Davis didn't fight Shakur Stevenson? How come these cats, how do you answer that question for those of us who look at you and say, where are these fights at? How come they're not fighting it?
My answer to that question is I had a lot of personal experience with these guys, and these guys done seen me in the gym, and they done been in the ring with me before, mm-hmm. so they know how good I am. And when they know that I'm that good, it's hard to get them to sign a contract to say, I want to fight that guy, because you see what happened with Teo. Like, Teo got in there, got embarrassed, and now the world is turning their back on him. But they should commend him because of the fact that he put it all on the line.
I'm not commending him. I'm not doing that. Shakur, I'm not doing that, Shakur. No.
You got to commend him.
First of all, what I mean by that is he has my respect as an elite fighter. I get that part. But what I'm not going to respect is the fact that I saw you go into the ring against him. And it was a complete, utter mismatch. It wasn't close.
But remember what you just said. You said a lot of guys won't sign up to fight me.
Right.
He did.
Okay. So you want to show him respect and gratitude because he got in the ring with you. Okay.
He did what a lot of people are scared of.
Okay.
A lot of people don't want to get embarrassed.
Well, you.
He got embarrassed for y'all.
You on the Stephen A. Smith show? You on the Stephen A. Smith show, bro? So give it to me. Give me names. Who's scared to get embarrassed? Teofimo wasn't. Who's scared to get embarrassed? I need names.
I'm not a names guy. Like, I can't keep.
Can I say the names?
You could call it.
I'm asking. Can I
call
say the
whatever
names,
you want?
Javonte Davis scared.
Hey man, like I said, I don't speak on that dude.
Is Ryan Garcia scared?
He been saying my name lately. Let's see if he really stick with it.
Is Devin Haney scared?
We'll see. It'll come to fruition on fight night, or when it's time to sign contracts.
To my producers, don't we have a quote from Ryan Garcia? Possible fight with Ryan Garcia. Let's read this quote right here. I know he's confident, so let's run it. I just love something about fighting somebody people don't think I'm going to beat. It's like the Devin Haney effect. With Shakur, they're going to think he's going to spank me, blah, blah, blah. When I get in there and I start hitting him, it's going to be different because I'm not one of those fighters that don't have a quick eye. He knows that my eye is quick. That same eye twitch that Shakur has, I have it too. That's from Ryan Garcia to Mike Coppinger on a possible fight against you. What's your response to that?
My response, I heard this before. I heard this. T.O. said he was going to do a lot of things to me. He said he was going to knock me out. It sounds good, but Ryan Garcia got to understand one thing that's very important. I'm not Devin Haney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Devin Haney.
How are you different than Devin Haney?
With all due respect to Devin Haney, he got his game, but my game is at a higher level. My defense is way better. I can stand there in front of guys and defend myself. And I don't think Devin Haney has the type of defense I got that.
I totally agree with you on that. With my camera. I totally agree with him on that. And I like that.
And he's a hell of a fighter.
He's
though.
A good fighter, hell but he's not fighter. You. He's not
agree.
You.
I agree.
He's not you. Is that a fight you want against him, or do you believe that there should be bigger fights on the horizon for you than a Devin Haney fight?
No, I think the Devin Haney fight is a big fight. I think it can happen. I think it just got to make sense. With Ryan Garcia, he just said he'll come down to 144 pounds. So if he'll come do that and it makes sense, let's do it.
Would you rather fight Ryan Garcia or Devin Haney?
I would rather fight either or. I think any of these guys... get in front of me. They got a lot to deal with.
Who are you here with? Are these people? Who's your manager? I know you got your brother.
My manager is Jay Prince. He's not here.
Jay Prince is not here. Let me tell you something right now. I don't like your answers because I want you to get paid. Okay, your Devin Haney's not going to get you paid.
You don't think so?
No, no.
Why don't you think that?
Because, look.
He's a big name.
He's not that.
Everybody wants to see that fight.
Let me be respectful because I like Devin Haney. I'm going to tell you a quick story. You tell me whether you agree with me because you're the boxer. You're the champion, all right? By the way, my ignorant ass, I was years ago, one of the funniest boxing moments ever. I'm sitting there arguing. The Charlo brothers, Errol Spence, and Andre Ward. This is during the Canelo Triple G fight. So we're arguing about who won and who lost. And then I went like this. Champion, 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 me. I need to shut the hell up. I need to shut the hell up. I mean, I got to know my place, okay? So I know who I'm talking to, right? And I defer to y'all who actually do it. But here's my issue with Devin Haney. Devin Haney, I think, made a huge mistake allowing Ryan Garcia to come into the ring at the weight he wanted. Remember when he bet a $500,000 for every pound that Ryan Garcia was overweight? Why would you do that? I'm told that 2, 3, 4 pounds means a lot. In boxing.
They do.
All right. So why would you let him do? You were the champion. He wanted your belt. What the hell you do that for? You play right into his hands. So when you lose, even though you ultimately sued him and we found out stuff about Ryan Garcia, whatever, the fact is Devin Haney and his father made the mistake of going into the ring under those conditions. Whereas when Gervonta Davis fought him, Ryan Garcia had to meet a catch weight. That was the weight that you had
to show. Two different fighters, though.
But you still had to show up at that weight. What decision would you have made? Would you let Ryan Garcia come in any way he wants to?
No.
Thank you.
I wouldn't, but I'm saying it's just, you got to understand that when he fought that guy, he was a different fighter than when he fought Devin Haney.
Okay.
So I respect what he did. I do agree with you. It was a mistake. But once again, he's a hell of a fighter.
He's a hell of a fighter.
He's not a guy that's just going to lay down. So you got.
He's a hell of a fighter, but he's not beating you.
No.
I'm telling you, he's not beating you.
No.
Ryan Garcia.
Not beating me either.
Taller.
Not beating me either.
Faster.
Not beating me either.
More power. How would you beat Ryan Garcia?
I think he's very overrated.
Overrated?
If a guy loses to Rolly that way, the way that I saw him lose to Rolly, all Rolly did was take away his left hook. Mm. That means clearly that's all he got. Mm. He better sharpen up his weapons before he get in the ring with me. Mm.
Talking to Shakur Stevenson right here. I mean, you do have a right to say what you're saying. I mean, shit, you're undefeated. You know, you're undefeated. Conor Benn. Y'all, he came into the ring afterwards. Now, you were talking to him. You called him out. So I didn't knock him. Had you not said anything and he came into the ring acting like that, I'd have had a problem with
him. I ain't had no issue with it.
I know that, but you called him into the ring. That's cool. He doing what he's doing. He is a big boy, though. That's a fight you want?
He the worst one. If we talking like boxing, like how you just talked about, okay, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, mm-hmm. them are fighters who got like a certain skill level.
Okay.
Conor Benn, he's just big and like dumb. He's a big idiot. He's going to go in there, throw hard punches and try to knock me out, and it's just not going to work.
It's not going to work. And why is it not going to work? Because you're going to give him a boxing lesson, or is he going to be vulnerable enough for you to hurt him?
I mean, that's the thing. People don't understand. In them 8-ounce gloves, people got to be respectful in there. Like, I keep telling people. So, T.O. had to find out the hard way. He was very respectful in there. Mm-hmm. And Conor Benn and all the rest of these guys going to have to be respectful.
What did T.O. say to you after he lost to you? Whether it's that night or unless you've spoken to him since. What did he say to you about what you did to him?
Nah, you know what's crazy? I keep it real with you. I saw him in the doctor thingy by himself, and I kind of like try to correct his game a little bit. Like I try to tell him a flaw that he was making during the fight.
Right.
That way, for the future references, when he go out there, he could get better. So.
How about throwing punches? It's boxing. Man didn't throw. What did he scared to throw a punch after the second round? Yeah. He was scared to throw punches.
Nah, I disagree with that.
Really?
I disagree. He threw punches.
I was watching. I rewind the damn tape. He threw some punches.
Me and you could watch together. He threw punches.
He was scared to throw punches at one point very early in the fight.
What would make a guy scared?
The fact that he's going to get countered and get checked.
So
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
But he had to feel some type of
I feel you. I'm not denying that.
To be scared, right?
I'm saying that's why. I'm saying, so which one is it? You said he was throwing punches. Now you're saying he was scared. Which one is it?
I think he came in there and did the best that he could do.
You know, see, champions like you, you can be classy. You're being very, very nice. Good for you. Good for you. Talking to Shakur Stevenson right here with Stephen A. What about you? I know Javonte Davis got some issues, and God bless him. We hope that everything gets, you know, he gets his life in order, all this other stuff. What about ever fighting him?
With all due respect to you, I don't really like talking about that dude.
Right.
I ain't really trying to speak too much on him.
I'm talking about the fight, not his life. Just fighting him. That's all I meant.
You know, because, right. Like, when you go out there and, like, you ask about this and they're going to try to twist and turn it as if, like, I need this guy or it's something that I need. I don't need nobody.
Gotcha.
I'm a big superstar. I make a lot of money. So, for me, I really don't even, like, talk about it.
You don't need anybody. Even Terrence Crawford felt he needed Canelo. Even Terrence Crawford felt he needed Errol Spence. He needed those big fights. There's not a big fight that you think you need.
I don't need nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. I think that at the end of the day, if things going to make sense, it's going to make sense. And I'm just following God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Is there a particular fight that you want more than any other fight out there?
That fight that you just said, I would love to fight still to this day. But
which one? Garcia or Javonte?
Not a fight you just said.
Javonte. That's what I want.
I would love that fight.
That's what I want.
I would love that fight still. But like I said, I don't need nobody. So if it ain't happening, then whatever.
You walked into the fight, and people were using the word boring, which is why over the last couple of fights, you stood right in the ring. You weren't running from anybody.
That's a compliment.
I understand. That's what I'm asking. That's where I'm coming. How did you feel when you were hearing people say that stuff about
you? It's a compliment.
Because
it's like, okay, you got an NBA team, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go smash people 128 to 70 points every time they go out there.
Right.
That's boring to watch, right?
Yeah.
That's boring for you to watch, right?
Yeah. It's not competitive. Yeah. It's not competitive.
That's my fights.
Mm-hmm.
It's a you're complimenting me when you say, oh, he's boring. I'm making guys like Teal look like nothing.
Does it ever make you feel compelled to make fights more interesting?
I did. I did my fight before this. I fought William Zepeda. I stood in the pocket.
Yep.
I took some punches for the fans. I showed them where my heart was at, and I got that in my arsenal if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do everything. There's nothing in the boxing ring that I can't do.
So you believe you're the best in the world?
I know I'm the best in the world.
Terrence Crawford, I know he's retired. But
I'm 1,000,000% sure I'm the best fighter.
If Terrence Crawford wasn't retired, you'd still be calling yourself the best in the world?
I would never go against Terrence Crawford because he's somebody who helped make me.
Right.
Who helped make me into the fighter that I am today.
Right.
So I would never go against him. But if you ask me who the best fighter in boxing, I'm going to say me.
Mm.
And I really believe it. Like, I don't, this ain't no joke.
No, I believe you believe it. I saw you tonight in the fight. I saw how intense you looked. You looked like you was going to whip T.O.'s ass, and then you went out there and you whipped his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. Yeah. That's what happened. There's no way around it.
I'm the best fighter on the planet. No question.
Do we need to look forward to seeing you stay at junior welterweight? Are you moving up? I mean, what's the intent?
I do what I want.
I'm asking you what you want.
I can't tell you what I want because it's like once the fights come to fruition, like once you come to the table, if you bring a guy at 135 that's lucrative, I'm fighting him. If you bring a guy at 140 that's lucrative, I'm fighting him. I'm probably not going to go to 147. I don't see myself going there. But if the fight is lucrative enough and somebody is going to take a rehydration clause because I'm a little guy, I'm not no big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll go to 147.
So you ain't going to let nobody just walk into the ring any size they want to. You definitely going to have some weight clauses up.
Why would I go in the ring and I'm below 150 and the guy is 170?
Right.
Like, I don't even think that's even like...
That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not a fair fight.
Right.
But the problem is I'm so good to where, like, I'm talking this, but I could beat these guys that's 170. I could beat these guys that's 180. So
okay.
I'm kind of crazy.
You're kind of great. I got to give credit where credit is due. Shakur Stevenson, man, appreciate you coming in. Happy for you. Congratulations.
You.
I predicted you'd win. I expected you to win. I didn't expect such a lopsided affair. So I got to watch you more intently. I got to see who's going to try at least try to give you a run for your money.
I'm going to beat all these dudes the same way, if not worse.
You heard it from here first. Shakur Stevenson in the house right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Up next, the head coach for for the Houston Cougars. I mean, they're doing their thing as well. Coach Kelvin Sampson, he's up next. Don't go away. You're listening live to Stephen A., Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back in a minute.